I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute and where no church or church school is granted public funds or political preferences. The heritage of the separation is demanded by the very nature of the church and by the very nature of the state. Both institutions may be headed in the same direction. They may involve the same people. They may have similar goals, but neither of these important instruments of society can attain its highest good, say, by the separation and independent controls and finances. The state requires everyone and regulates everyone. The church seeks to evangelize everyone. Government rests upon the police and often the military power, but the church draws its power from a source not of this world, a divine power. Government is implemented through fear and fines and imprisonment, but the church influences through faith and inspiration. Government grows through legislation and laws, but the church through persuasion and invitation and encouragement. Government is ever a compromise of ideals, but our churches establish and set those ideals. Government survives upon a compulsory tax, but a good live church survives upon tithes and voluntary offerings according to the Bible's way. Our forefathers worked for 2,000 years to try to resolve the tensions between obedience to God and obedience to the state. They tried every scheme imaginable to unite successfully the church with the state, but they failed miserably because the ingredients of the church and the ingredients of the state simply would not unite. I like to think, as a Christian layman, that separation is an inherent part of my faith. Our Bible propounds the doctrine that we should render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, unto God the things that are God. And Jesus said himself that my kingdom is not of this world. Dr. George W. Truett, one of the greatest ministers, declared that these statements of Jesus were history-making. They were revolutionary. Dr. E.Y. Mullins wrote that the doctrine of separation of church and state is axiom of religion, that we are to have a free church and a free society. Now, Baptists are not a sluggish people. They are not phlegmatic. They did not come upon separation by slow, gradual degrees. Baptists never come upon anything by slow, gradual degrees. They found it like the turning on of a great light, a divinely given prophetic insight gleaned from the scriptures brought that truth to them. And it has been the heart of our ministry. God revealed this great truth to that layman Thomas Helways when he wrote the king is a mortal man and not God. That sounds like a Baptist. Therefore he hath no power over immortal souls of his subjects to make laws and ordinances for them and to set up spiritual gods over them. That's Baptistic. And how wonderful it is to have a layman express his deepest convictions. This humble, imprisoned Baptist layman of the 17th century, one of the true founders of religious liberty in the world, may have set in motion the inspiration that brought forth from Kipling in the 19th century. All we have of freedom, all we know, this our fathers bought us long, long ago. Ancient right unnoticed as the breath we draw, leave to live by no man's leave underneath the law. Lance and torch and tumult, steel and gray goose and wing wrenched it, each and eel and all, slowly from the king, till our fathers established after bloody years, how our king is one of us, first among his peers. So they bought us freedom, not a little cost. Wherefore must we watch the king, lest all our gain be lost? The American heritage of religious freedom is threatened as I speak to you tonight, this afternoon. Never in American history has the First Amendment come under as many assaults, as destructive and dangerous today. The welfare government is making vassals of our state and serfs of our people. There are some people who would rather be fed by Uncle Sam than to do a day's work. A number of our citizens are more concerned about security than they are freedom. More and more of our leaders are enamored by building larger and larger institutions when some of them may have lost sight of the founding purposes of the institutions they would expand. More and more of our people are content to be one of a crowd rather than to be rugged individuals with convictions and courage, which is the characteristic of Baptists. Expediency, not principle, has become the notion of progress and compromise our creed for actions. We Americans are a little like spoiled children. We want our cake and eat it too. In some political circles, the rule of thumb seems to be get by with anything you can, but just don't get caught. Well, we're getting caught. Reckoning is at hand. Our immorality is showing and our corruption is streaking. And it all adds up to the fact, as I see it, that we have departed from the sacred word. We have become lost to God's saving grace. But it is in this fat and flabby and fruitless environment that many of our values are lost, and among these is our value of religious freedom. It suffers as well-meaning but badly informed men and women introduce legislation in every state of the Union to get public money for private sectarian purposes. It suffers when we dilute or remove from our state constitutions those safeguards of church-state separation. It suffers when church leaders would reach out for public taxes for their church purposes. Scars fall upon our heritage when American citizens go to sleep and permit church-state entanglements to accumulate unheeded. Now, I have fought for the correction of these abuses and violations because I love my church and I believe that it can witness more freely and more effectively when it is not perpetually in debt to the government. I have fought for the separation because I believe that no Christian can make a true witness without sacrifice. I have fought for freedom from religious tax because I don't think that we can be a successful evangelical people when we impose religious tax upon those that we would invite into God's kingdom. I have fought for church-state separation because I think it is sinful and tyrannical for any church to gain freedom and power under the First Amendment and then employ this newly gained power to destroy the very amendment of which we are so great benefactors and beneficiaries. Now, this is exactly what a church is doing when it seeks public funds for its church purposes and when it picks judges that will give biased judgments and opinions in favor of a church, and when it ushers and precious legislators to pass laws that circumvent the Supreme Court's decision, and when it spends more time in Washington lobbying for a government prayer than it actually spends in the exercise of prayer itself. Only a foolish man believes that America can maintain its freedom without effort and vigilance. Why can't our people see here what Germany learned too late? That a church as a beneficiary of a government is a state-controlled church. It was a pathetic sight when the churches of Germany, partially because they were lackeys and legatees of Hitler's government, stood by silently while 6 million human beings were shamefully sacrificed. As for me, the son of a rugged, independent, freedom-loving, God-fearing pioneer, I would rather that our institutions move a little more slowly, that our churches develop a little more prudently, that we resist the government tentacles of power with a little more vigor, than to have our churches and our states and our citizens succumb to more and more government, to more and more centralized power, and to the ever-widening restraints of our personal and our religious freedom. The preservation of our heritage requires action right now. Ah, we do well when we revere the memories of Crandall and Clark and Holmes, but we demonstrate courage and conviction when we tell Baptists and all others they shall not drop from their state constitutions those safeguards of separation. We excite our imaginations when we say that Bacchus rode a horse farther than John Wesley, spreading church-state separation all over New England. But we manifest character when we call upon our Roman Catholic friends, upon our Protestant leaders, and upon our Baptists too. Pay for your religious undertakings and stop the unlawful raids upon the government treasuries of this country. It is a very nice exercise in composition for our conventions, even like this, to pass resolutions endorsing church-state separation, but it is much more helpful for us to support the Baptist Joint Committee in Washington, D.C., where for 35 long years, Doctors Weaver and Dawson and Carlson, Doctors Garrett and Baker and Wood have been in the front line trenches, striving, struggling, battling for a heritage that we say we cherish, but sometimes support so indifferently. I suppose it's a little unecumenical for me to bring Patrick Father O'Brien's warning today when he said that the Roman Catholic Church will blot out, it will amend, it will stamp out the Constitution of the United States to carry on the program of the Holy Roman Church. And yet it was in the ecumenical conference at Rome where the same pronouncement was endorsed. Under our very eyes, this threat's being carried out by aggressive drives of one big church to get funds, by the nibbling of some of our Protestant churches to get funds, and more by the apathy and the indifference of our citizenry. It was because of these circumstances that Dr. J.M. Dawson and Dr. Louis D. Newton and their associates created Americans United, to deal and to cope with these problems in the courts and in the legislatures of the land. For 26 years, this has been my job. Never again will my voice ring down these corridors, and I want you to listen, I want you to hear, and remember that Americans United, led by our great president, Dr. Allen, must have your unrelenting support to preserve Americans United as the legal arm protecting and saving our heritage. Every church and every layman, every minister, all Americans and especially Baptists must rally to this crusade. If we fail in this crusade, there will be millions to lament our failure. If we succeed, they and generations yet unborn will rise up to call us blessed. We shall succeed. The nation whose forefathers braved the unchartered seas, offered and gave their lives for our heritage, will find among us their children the will and the determination the sacrifice and the suffering to stem the stormy tides of our day and our generation, for we have a heritage to keep. Baptists who glory in the names of Williams and Leland and Truett and Newton and James and Dawson will not falter in the hour of peril when enemies would destroy the laws which protect our religious freedom. For Baptists of all people have a heritage to keep. Surely politicians who know political science and history, who have reviewed all of the wars that have been fought over religion, will never let this new creative republic lapse into dark ages where religion was a form and a ceremony, the church a tourist attraction, and the state a haunted house of rank injustice. For politicians have a heritage to keep. I believe in God. I believe that there is a divine power that is on the side of justice and liberty and soul freedom, that somehow in His wisdom this nation will arise from its present moral and spiritual debacle, that sinful men and women will repent, they will seek His guidance, enthrone His grace, preserve and protect a good heritage. For does not God have a desire that His children have freedom of worship? 414 years ago, near Corsicana, Texas, on a farm, in a pioneer home, where affluence never came to dinner, but where every meal was blessed with grace by God-fearing parents, a little boy was born. That boy grew to manhood. Baylor University disciplined his mind and inspired his heart. God sought this man's energies and resources for His kingdom. This man gave all. Two commitments pervaded his life and being. One was the redemption of sinful men and women, and the other was the freedom to witness for his Lord. I knew this man. I loved this man. He blessed my life and he blessed yours. Dr. J.M. Dawson's life constitutes for me and for you a rich legacy. It's a part of the great American heritage. It is a heritage that we will cherish forever. It is a precious heritage that we must and will keep now. It is a God-given heritage that we will keep forever and forever and forever.
Dr. Archer, spontaneously, this large group stands in appreciation for the tremendous work that you've done and the great service that you've rendered to our country and to the stand of Baptists on the separation of church and state through the years. And let this be acknowledged as a standing vote of appreciation to you for your distinguished career. And now, James Waters of Macon, Georgia, will say our benediction.
May we pray together. Our Father, we thank Thee for the heritage which we have this day, and how much we appreciate it in this hour, having heard this Thy servant, who has stood in the gap, not only in the gap, but who has stood there in the place of leadership so long, pleading, seeking, directing, sharing, insisting, and praying that we shall all rally to the forces for right. Grant, O Lord, that we in return shall give of our talents and give of our time and our prayers and our efforts to Thee, that we shall see to it that this great country of ours, with all of its problems and its dilemmas, still the greatest nation upon this earth and still the greatest form of government man knows. We pray, O Lord, that Thou would grant to us political sanity, grant to us moral integrity, grant to us spiritual insight. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst ever let us hold aloft the great principle of separation of church and state, rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Lord, teach us how really to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We pray that Thou wouldst go with us from this meeting hall today with new determination to lift aloft Christ, to be evangelists, each and every one, to go back to our churches, to pick up the lines and to draw them tight, and to move onward and upward and outward and forever forward, proclaiming Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and coming King Eternal. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. Go with us to our homes. Be with us in the service this evening hour and on through this life till we assemble at Jesus' feet. Amen.